Chrome, which is pretty terrible in this regard, despite building a privacy sandbox. What is a privacy sandbox?
I'm afraid to see what's buried in that sandbox.
Welcome to the Geek in Review, the podcast focused on innovative and creative ideas in the legal industry. I'm Marlene Gebauer.
And I'm Greg Lambert. Well, welcome to October, Marlene, or as I've been calling it, the eighth month of March this year.
True.
Well, at least we're closer to the end of 2020, and I think most of us will be glad to get this year in our rearview mirror.
Well, you know, it's actually been very cool here, and by that I mean 80 degrees.
Houston cool, which
I've been enjoying, and, you know, in the 60s in the morning. Now, Northerners will get a kick out of this, that I have seen men in turtlenecks already.
Yeah, but I was just testing that out.
So. It was just a look.
Yeah. It's a look. Well, this week's guests are, I think, a perfect follow-up from last week's episode with Olga Mack and her reference to transferring your individual skills as you progress through your career. So we have Jeff Marple and Bob Taylor from Liberty Mutual, along with Gabe Tenenbaum from Suffolk Law School. And they join us to talk about the upcoming Boston Legal Design Challenge, which is happening on November 13th.
Yeah, we really are suckers for design and innovation challenges, aren't we?
Hey, you know, they're interesting. So that's,
they really are.
So we have a great conversation with Jeff, Bob, and Gabe. So stick around for that. But first, let's go ahead and jump into this week's Information Inspirations. Sometimes, Marlene, you just want to get back to the basics. And this week, I wanted to start off with a great video tutorial on Microsoft Word shortcut keys and macros from Deborah Savadra at Legal Office Guru. And it was posted on the Attorney at Work website. So for anyone, whether you, the only shortcut you may know is Control-C and Control-V. Yeah, I know. Or you're super experienced with creating macros, kind of like I am. This is just a 7.5 minute long video, and it has something for everyone. So as much time as we spend in our word processing documents, the more we can create efficiencies and the better off we're just going to be. And one of the biggest ways to create efficiencies, as many of us know, is to keep your hands on the keyboard and off of the mouse. So shortcuts and macros are the best ways to keep those fingers moving. Go check out Deborah's instructional video, and I bet that even the most experienced of you will learn a few things.
Privacy articles were at the top of my feed this week, so I combined three of them for this inspiration. So which browsers protect privacy more than others? Well, Safari, Brave, and Firefox all seem to have a better privacy profile than, say, Chrome, which is pretty terrible in this regard, despite building a privacy sandbox. Trackers embedded in websites really highlight the privacy issue. Google is the worst, with trackers installed on 75% of the top 1 million websites. Facebook is second at 25%, and Twitter comes in third at 10%. There are ways to protect your privacy even with the worst of browsers, like turning off password and search engine autofills and disabling location tracking. Or you can use my favorite browser extension, DuckDuckGo. And shifting a bit to apps, Signal, which is an end-to-end encrypted message app, has become the go-to for organizing protests.
Now, how soon before that one's banned?
Yeah. Well, Signal works similarly to WhatsApp, but it is owned and operated by a nonprofit, not a corporation, and it has more security. Edward Snowden is actually quoted in this article as stating that he uses it all the time, and it seems now that regular people are too.
Okay. Well, we definitely know
it's going to get banned now. Well, I mean, if it's endorsed by now. Edward Snowden.
Great.
I know. It's like wonderful.
Well, my second one is, and I watched this actually today, there's this fantastic video of a roundtable discussion on the issues of microaggressions directed at Black attorneys. You know, this is a really difficult issue to cover. And the panel of L'Oreal R. Scott, Moy Ogilvie, Catherine Smith, Travis Randolph, along with the moderator, Gordon Weeks. They discuss their own personal experiences of being a Black lawyer in America and the issues that they have faced. It was just fascinating to listen to it. You know, the term microaggression may make people think that the issues that they're facing are minor or small or insignificant, but it's like the old death by a thousand cuts issue. Mm-hmm. You know, this is an issue that my friend and fellow former AAL president Ron Wheeler has covered for a number of years. This was just a great discussion, and I highly suggest that everyone take the time to watch this roundtable discussion.
Since the first presidential debate was last night, and there are a couple more coming up, I thought this inspiration would be timely and useful. The link that I am sharing is a nice starting point to several articles from NPR, 538, AARP, The Conversation, The Verge, and one on Vox written by a misinformation superhero librarian that highlight how to spot fake news and how some sorts of fact-checking are more effective than others. It also links out to articles that cover why we are susceptible to misinformation and how misinformation spread in the 2016 election. And this is a very cool graphical site by the Knight Foundation. I encourage everyone to take a look. There are also links to factchecker.org, PolitiFact, and Verified. Stay informed, folks.
Yeah. Although I hear debate number two is just going to be a knife fight out in the parking lot.
Just like Jersey.
I think it is in Jersey.
And that wraps up this week's Information Inspirations. The fourth annual Legal Design Challenge brings together a collaboration between Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and Suffolk Law School in Boston to give law and other graduate students the opportunity to learn design thinking skills in a real hands-on way to rapidly develop and pitch big ideas within the legal industry. We asked three masterminds behind the challenge to talk with us and tell us more.
We're joined by a trio of innovators out of Boston today. Returning to the Geek and Review is Jeff Marple, Innovation Director at Liberty Mutual, Gabe Tenenbaum, Assistant Dean of Innovation at Suffolk University Law School, and Bob Taylor, Vice President and Senior Corporate Counsel at Liberty Mutual. We tried to also get the Liberty Mutual spokesperson, Doug, and the Limu Emu out, but apparently they were busy shooting the commercial in that beautiful 1971 Dodge Duster that they drive around in.
Well, welcome, everyone. The three of you are collaborating on the Boston Legal Design Challenge. Jeff, would you mind telling us a little bit more about what the Design Challenge is?
Sure thing, Marlene. The Design Challenge was an event that the three of us sort of conceived over lunch probably about 5 years ago in Boston. It's a hybrid event between both a competition and an educational event. We spend the day doing a little bit of lecture, but also a tremendous amount of exercises, hand-on exercises to law students. And it's like a hackathon, but instead of developing code, law students are trying to come up with ideas around the next great legal service or legal product. We organize a series of exercises for the different teams. Those exercises sort of channel the participants' ideas towards a presentation at the end of the day, and they have a very short time period to present at the end of the day, a very pithy, sort of quick, rapid-fire presentation, and the winning team gets a cash prize.
Nothing we also have cash.
What?
No,
what's wrong with cash?
How much cash are we talking about here, Jeff?
I was like, is it rude to ask how much cash we're talking about?
It's not rude to ask. We're not prepared to release the amounts just yet. I can tell you, though, that it will probably be larger than last year. I believe last year's first prize was $3,000 for the first prize team. So we're hoping to exceed that.
Hey, for a law student, that's not chump change.
No, that's not terrible.
Not bad
right?
For me,
that's not chump change.
Yeah. We have and for those Iron Chef fans out there, we have a hint of Iron Chef in there. We give them a secret ingredient at the beginning of the day, either a type of technology or a domain that they need to work in, and they aren't aware of that until they get there. So we don't want teams necessarily working ahead. We want everyone sort of starting from the same spot. At the end of the day, I talked about the their pitches. We're extremely proud of our judging panel this year. We have, I think, what, 5-time participant on this podcast, Kat Moon from Vanderbilt will be on the panel, as well as Bob Ambrosi, who, if you follow legal tech at all, you know who Bob is. And then we have Jason Barnwell from Microsoft to give us a corporate perspective. We're really excited about it. We'll have about 10 teams of 5 people per team. So if you're out there and you're listening, we want you to register soon. And you can do that by going to lmi.co/BLDC. So LMI stands for Liberty Mutual Insurance Company, .co/BLDC, Boston Legal Design Challenge.
We'll put that up on the site too, so that
people, that would be fantastic.
People can do that. Yeah, that sounds like an incredible program and an incredible panel. I'm very excited to see where this goes.
Yeah, and Bob Ambrosi is like my 3rd favorite podcaster. So Bob knows what I'm talking about.
What do you start? You're starting something. Why are you starting something?
No, Bob says I'm his 3rd favorite podcaster too. So we're on equal territory.
All
right, so Bob Taylor, you know, why do this? Why does a PNC insurance carrier host a design challenge with a law school?
Yeah. So when we were at Back Bay Harry's, you know, which no longer exists, and we were having some sandwiches and truffle fries, my co-conspirators here were talking about that. Like, what is the really reason why we would want to do this? And, you know, first, it's not easy making insurance seem cool. I know that may seem as a shock to you, but, you know, no one really ever ends up in insurance on purpose. I mean, certainly I didn't. But one of the things we wanted to do was give law students an understanding of what it might be like to work within the confines of a Fortune 100 legal department. And then also to understand that working within, you know, an insurance law department can be a very rich and varied and diverse experience, as opposed to just dealing with auto matters all day long, right? So, you know, one is to give, you know, the students an interesting perspective on what it's like. The other is, and why we also connected with Gabe and Suffolk University and their innovative approach to legal education, is to make sure that we are communicating with educational institutions out there about what kind of pipeline we're looking for in terms of new talent, you know, within our legal department. And many people have this conception that all we do is hire 6-7-year lateral partners or, you know, associates into our law department. And quite frankly, we're looking for students that have T-shaped skills and that have the kind of diversity of thought and design thinking skills that are going to help us solve problems, not just the way that law is being practiced today, but the way it's going to be practiced tomorrow. And so this is a nice way for us to do that. And also, quite frankly, it helps us scratch a little bit of an itch. I mean, you know, Jeff and I, and I know Gabe loves this too, we're big devotees of design thinking and trying to solve difficult problems in unique ways. And, you know, if you want to learn something well and become good at it, try teaching it to 50 people at once, right? Yeah. So it's a fun event for us. We really enjoy it. Quite frankly, I think I can speak for the other people involved. When you're interacting with the students, you get a tremendous amount of energy and the excitement that they have in getting involved in this. So it's not a one-way street. We get a lot out of this as well.
Well, I can tell you, if 2 people can make insurance cool, it's definitely Bob and Jeff, right?
No
tall order.
So, you know, we've heard the corporate side of the story here from Bob and Jeff and what the benefits are. So, Gabe, what's the benefit that Suffolk gets by working with Liberty Mutual?
Well, you know, at the end of the day, we're in the education business. And traditionally in law schools, that meant being in the classroom. And then over the years, that got extended to things like experiential courses and clinics. But the reality is that this sort of opportunity is exactly what we do. We're in the business of educating our students and giving them really amazing experiences. And this is truly one of those really amazing experiences that is really hard to attain in any other way.
And it seems to be pretty unique, too. I mean, you know, I don't know of any other programs like this.
It's about the only show in town. And, you know, when you can get folks like the people from Liberty Mutual who are so deeply engrossed in this sort of content to come and spend some time with students it leads to these really remarkable things. And the other thing that's cool about it is that we've extended, of course, beyond just being Suffolk Law students. And having attended for the last several years, one of the real pleasures is watching students from different law schools or from different programs outside of the law school work together in a team, problem solve using the things that they're learning about in school with mentors from Liberty and other places who really have experienced this in practice. And then the third reason is it's just fun and it's joyful. And the reality is that there is not a lot of joy in law school unless you're, you know, it's a fact. I'm sorry. Look,
enjoy law school, Greg?
Oh, man.
People do not want to leave this thing by the end of the day. And, you know, this is a long day. And it's the longest day is for Bob and Jeff and their team. And, you know, they're in there when the sun comes up, setting up the event, and the students roll in at breakfast time. And it goes all day with, you know, appropriate breaks. And they do a great job of setting up in a way that it doesn't feel like work. But they're really working all day. At the end of the day, students don't want to leave the room and they want to just grab more of it. And some of it is they want to spend time with Bob and Jeff and the other people involved because they want to gather more knowledge from them. But it's just like a joyful experience. It's fun to do. So that's what's in it for us. And I'm so glad we're able to do this with Liberty Mutual. It's just wonderful.
Yeah. Well, and enough about what's in it for the three of you. What are the students getting out of it? And I would also like to know, other than joy and apparently cash, being cash locked the in barrel. The room yeah, at the end cash. Of the day. what are they getting out of it? And one other thing is you mentioned that there are students who may not be in law school. What other types of students show up for this sort of event?
Well, in the past, we've had MBA students. We've had students from other law schools, which we certainly hope to have this year.
Are there other law schools in Boston?
I've heard about a couple, but I don't know a lot.
I think there's one across the river.
I think one out of every five residents is in law school in Boston. So.
There's no doubt about that. But listen, you know, the students at Suffolk Law get this, and I expect that we'll have a lot of Suffolk Law students. You know, we have a long history in legal innovation and technology. We launched our program way back in the dark ages of 2013, which made us pretty much the first program, if not the first program in the country. You know, we've been ranked number one by National Jurist. So we're starting to get some positive attention and momentum. And we have a really good groundswell among our students, student body that want to think about design thinking and other sort of non-traditional bits of legal work. One of the ways that we advertise this event among our student body is with our Legal Innovation and Tech Student Association, which has about 250 members. So our Legal Tech Student Association is larger than like a quarter or a third of the law schools in the United States. You know, the students are fired up about this. And what they see is that this is an opportunity to learn a real skill, to try a thing, and to be able to create a product, but also to be able to go out to future employers and say, hey, I have some experience or I have some interest in design thinking, and to try to parlay that into some of their work or for it to become their job.
I would just add on, if I could, to what Gabe is saying about what the students get out of it. I want to make something, you know, maybe known to anybody who might be thinking about registering for this event, that people that have participated in this event, we've had three different summer law clerks come through and interview and qualify and be accepted into our competitive summer law program at Liberty Mutual. And one of the main impetuses for them applying for the program and one of the ways that they were able to get in was their participation in the design challenge. So it was three or four. I think it's four. And even one of those students also now is in our attorney development program and graduated from the law clerk program into the attorney development program. So there's no guarantee, obviously, of you know, getting into the department that way. But I will tell you that it does help you differentiate yourself with employers. And that's proven out by the fact that they've been able to get hired into our program. So I guess I'd like to say that only because we don't just talk the talk. We try to walk the walk and put people in a position to succeed in their professional lives as well.
And I can tell you that all four of those law clerks are coming back to help us be facilitators for this year's event, which is fantastic.
That's very cool. And I mean, that differentiation, I mean, I think that's really key right now where, you know, jobs are scarce and, you know, people really have to showcase themselves, you know, and, you know, highlight how they're different than the rest of the pack, if you will.
Yeah. Before we get to the next question, Marlene.
Yeah.
On our last episode, we had Olga Mack on. And one of the things that she said that stuck with me that I think is relevant here is that you're giving the students here a skill set that they'll take with them. And that's something that, you know, they'll always have. And she had mentioned that no matter what job you have, you take your skill set with you. And the more skills that you have, the more viable you'll be to land that next job. So legal design thinking is not easy. And anything you can do to help them kind of understand the concepts and build on that is good for them.
Yeah. You know, you say something that's really critical that we talk about all the time at Liberty Mutual, which is skills over knowledge. You know, knowledge is a commodity, but skills are durable. So when you talk about delivering a skill to someone, we think a lot about that and in our own development programs for our own lawyers within Liberty Mutual as well. So point well taken.
Yeah. So since we're speaking about viability, you know, how viable are the ideas that the student teams come up with during the challenge?
Yeah. So in fairness, I think a lot of the students lack context for what it is that they're working on. And that's not their fault. They just haven't had the experience yet. So the reality is that very few of the concepts or ideas there end up kind of emerging out of the design challenge itself. Oftentimes those ideas are very similar to existing products, but maybe that's only to validate that they're good ideas in the first place, right? And that somebody has taken that idea and advanced it. But the truth of the matter is, you know, Marlene, we don't go into this with the expectation of getting the next great idea out of it. Now, if something comes out and the students want to continue to evolve it and pursue it, we encourage that. Or if it's something that is interesting to us, we might pull the string on that a little bit. But we really don't go into it with that expectation. And I would encourage anybody who runs these events, and I think it's true for people that run standard hackathon events, that if you go into it with that expectation, I think you're oftentimes let down. The idea with this particular event that it's experiential, right? And that you're going to have an experience. And that's really what you're taking from this. And anything else beyond that really is kind of the cherry on top.
Just to add on, you know, designing a product is like exercising a muscle. A lot of times this is their first time out doing exactly that. So you can't expect to deadlift 1,000,000 pounds your first time out. You got to go to the gym a lot, right? So this is like intro to the gym.
Yeah. So they're going to be sore the next day, right? Their brain's going to be sore. Well, Jeff, normally this type of event, you would bring everyone together in one location, but it's 2020, so nothing is normal anymore.
Understatement of the year there.
Yeah. since this is going to be virtual, what are some of the challenges that you're going to run into with an all virtual event?
So traditionally, as you said, this was an in-person event. And right out of the gate, we had some real sort of tactical challenges to figure out. We did a tremendous amount of work with sticky notes and dry erase boards and paper and pens and physical tactile experiences. So obviously that's not going to work. So we started to look around at different solutions in this area that could help us get us that same feeling and that same result, but to try to do it virtually. And as it turns out, there are some products out there. We're going to use a product called Mural.co, which is fantastic. It's a fantastic product. It allows folks to have a big whiteboard that they're posting stickies to, and you can all work at the same time, which is really a nice, refreshing change for any of you that have been on a Zoom call like this one, where one person can talk at a time, only one person can contribute at a time. You know, I find so often now that we're on these calls and we're so often leaning back and listening, this event promises to get people leaning forward and working together. And that platform helps facilitate that. So that was one of the things that we had to think about. We had to solve for that. We're thinking a lot about Zoom fatigue and, you know, video conferencing fatigue. So we'll be doing a lot of breaks. And again, not a lot of listening. There's going to be a very small amount of lecture, and the exercises themselves will be designed to teach where in the past we might have talked a little bit more about why this is important or what we're going to do here. The exercises should be pretty self-explanatory about what folks will be doing. And then the other thing is, and I'm sure you guys have all felt this, sometimes it feels like you know, if you're working in the same room with someone, you have a very strong connection with them because they're right there. You can see all the body language. You can see the you can see their faces. You can feel the energy in the room. When you're working with someone virtually, it feels like you're sort of like, you know, that's like a little string, that's a delicate string that's connecting you. And that string can be cut very easily, or people can sort of get distracted, that kind of thing. So we're really looking to put these exercises on rails to really guide the participants through the different exercises. So it's very easy and easy to understand what they have to do next. And that should drive their product design towards the end, towards their pitch. Now, those are all the challenges. The positives of this, right? You know, when this all hit, Bob and I were talking, and he's like, hey, you know, we wouldn't really be innovators if we just let, you know, the fact that we're going virtual stop us from doing this event. We can't cancel the event. So we had to figure out a way to do it. So we did. And we're trying to make some lemonade where there's lemons. So before, we were very geographically restricted, right? Folks had to travel to come to Suffolk in order to participate. Well, you don't have to travel anymore. So we are really pushing this out nationally. We hope to have national representation. And by national representation, I'm hoping, you know, a team from every time zone would be fantastic. And so that's kind of the good side of this, is that we're really able to open this up to many more people.
Yeah, I mean, we don't want to call anybody out, you know, directly on this podcast, you know, around the country for registering teams, but Margaret Hagan better get a team in from Stanford or there's going to be an issue, I think. But no, we love Margaret.
Not to name names, Margaret, but
not to name any names. No, you know, I don't know, Gabe, did you want to call anybody out on this?
You're nicer than me. I've been calling people out for weeks on Twitter. So
yeah, if you haven't seen those tweets, you should take a look. They're pretty good, I have to say.
All right, I'm going to go check that out. And I will tell you that I have used Mural before for a design sprint, and it works incredibly well. And we were all over the place. And, you know, we were able to sort of break out into rooms for our different groups, you know, once we chose, you know, the ideas. I think it'll be great for you guys.
Right. I'm glad to hear that.
It does work. It can work.
Well, we've run a few internals, much smaller events and had great experience on it. So
good. You know, so this all sounds absolutely fantastic. So, you know, not to put you on the spot, Bob, but, you know, do you actually do anything this interesting and exciting externally at Liberty Mutual?
Well, we do.
Because, very good.
Because insurance is cool.
We know it is now.
Now, for those of you that didn't know, insurance is cool. We do stuff like this internally. We do a number of cultural type events during the year that help people think differently and bring together diversity of thought and people with different disciplines to help solve thorny problems. And so we do this event internally. Internally, it's a day and a half event. It's a little more immersive. And also, it gives people in the legal department that come from all over an opportunity to pitch in front of senior leaders in the legal department, including our chief legal officer. And, you know, I do want to mention that Jim Kelleher, our chief legal officer, is insanely supportive of what I call legal R&D. He understands that there's a need to invest in this kind of thing and prepare our folks for the way that law is going to be practiced and keep our practice groups modern and moving forward. And so it's been a great experience. We've been oversubscribed every year we've run it internally. We have to limit, you know, the total number of people. So it is competitive actually to get into it. It's competitive to get the t-shirt that we hand out internally. So it's really been fun to run this event internally. One of the nicest things about the internal event is that people comment, not only do they love the experience and have a new skill leaving it, but they often are paired up in groups of people that they haven't usually interacted with or didn't get a chance to interact with normally.
I was going to ask.
Yeah. And so you might have a lawyer from London interacting with a lawyer from Seattle, with a paralegal in Boston and a compliance person out of Plano, Texas. And that kind of connectivity, that connective tissue that you create at the event tends to be sustainable after. And it makes us a better organization. So it's kind of fun to see what happens with those.
Just out of curiosity, have you ever thought about doing something like this for your outside counsel, bringing them in?
You know, We've given it some thought. We haven't run an event exactly like this. We do run events for our outside counsel that help them understand about the culture of Liberty Mutual. So we'll bring them in. And we've given some talks about innovation, and we've actually featured several of our law firms in front of their peers and about the innovative things that they've done in their practices in a way to create maybe a little FOMO with the firms that maybe aren't participating, right? And to spur a little action. But we are definitely trying to push culturally into our law firms this type of behavior.
Yeah. Yeah. Firms don't like to miss out on things. So
no.
Gabe, you know, there's a few of these innovation tournaments and things like that going on in different law schools across the country now. What makes this challenge different than some of the other challenges that are out there?
Well, this one's wonderful in a few different ways. One of the things that's really cool about it is, of course, that we're doing it with Liberty Mutual. And they're a great company and they're a great team. But the thing that's really special is they actually come in and they share their experiences with students and help them get trained up to think about the process that we teach them the way that they've actually done in the wild and been successful with. So that's a really wonderful thing. Next is it's design thinking based. So there are a number of innovation-related activities that are going on at law schools, including competitions nowadays. But it's really hard to run a design thinking event simply because it's a hard set of skills to teach, and it is hard to gather people together in a format where it makes sense. I mean, this is an intensive, long, but enjoyable day, and we're able to do that using the design thinking template. And then third and finally, it's not just a competition. It's not like a moot court competition where you walk in the door and you compete and the judges, you know, maybe give you some feedback after. This is actually instructional. We have a design thinking course, but most of the students in the competition haven't taken the course. So when they show up, you know, they've read some of the materials, they have a broad sense about what's going to happen, but they're not only competing, they're learning. So that's a real special thing because it becomes sort of a self-contained day where you show up, you have some fun, you learn some skills that are transferable down the road, and then you actually compete to practice those skills.
Yeah, I would just add to what Gabe is saying in that it's very much experiential, and you kind of come into it not really knowing what to expect, and you kind of stretch yourself a little bit. You see, we see it every year where, you know, there's all this energy right at the beginning, and then you see this major dip where the students are doubting themselves. They don't really know, and they get confused and frustrated, and they may be arguing. And then all of a sudden, right out of all of that difficulty, confusion, and frustration, with a little bit of guidance, then they start to coalesce and come together. And then the pitches are typically fantastic. And so that kind of journey that the students go through, I think, makes this event unique. And I think we're going to do our best to recreate that in this virtual environment.
Sounded like a microcosm of law school.
Yeah, right. Yeah, 1L to 3L, right? Yeah. And everything in between.
Yeah, well, I mean, I like the fact that you have this along with sort of a design, you know, thinking class. And this is just another way to get more students familiar with the concepts and teach them the skills. I'd like everyone to chime in on this one, but we'll start with Jeff. Is there a message that you're trying to send to students or to the industry?
Yeah, the thing that I always come back to is this, and it's kind of like the reason I do it, right? Which is, I always can try to figure out, and this is probably arrogance mostly, but I always try to think about like a better way to do something. Like, is there a better way to do X? Or is there a better way to do Y? You know, like what are the issues with this? And is there a better way to do that? And can we just maybe not even do this anymore? Like, let's just skip that and go on to the next thing and sort of evolve us all, right? The work that we do. And like, spoiler, I usually end the day talking about this precisely. And the reason I like to do that is just because it's fun. It's really fun. And like, there's a tremendous amount of fun to be had in doing this kind of work. That's kind of the message that I'm sending out there. Like, dare to be different, dare to think about things differently, dare to shake things up and change things up. Because you know what? You might have a lot of fun along the way. And, you know, job satisfaction, it's an important thing. So that's kind of the message that I'm personally trying to send through this event.
Okay. Then I'll pitch it over to Bob.
So this may come as a little bit of a challenge to Gabe and his colleagues, although Gabe has already taken up this challenge. I think one of the messages that we're trying to send to the marketplace, especially to law schools, is the type of talent that we value or the type of skills that we value from graduates. We're really trying to get law schools to think differently about their training. If you had said to me 10 years ago that law school students need to take statistics courses, I might be like, eh, I don't know. But today I'm absolutely convinced that they need to be taking crossover courses in how to consume statistics and practice data-driven law, right? And that goes along with some of the innovation and technology things. So what we're trying to do is signal to the legal marketplace what it is that we value as a Fortune 100 company. And I think what other Fortune 100s and actually Fortune 500, you know, large law departments appreciate in the talent and the kind of talent that we need, right? The other is, you know, to signal to people that are out there that are interested in potentially working with Liberty Mutual. It's a signal to, you know, people that are thinking about in-house. They're not really sure whether or not that's a career path for them, and that we want them to think of Liberty Mutual as an employer of choice, and that, you know, we do more than just look at insurance policies all day long. We look at autonomous vehicles, you know, we insure drones, you know, there's all kinds of different, we have a, you know, amazing partnership with MIT and looking at AI, and that all of those things need legal support, and that you can have a very rich and interesting career and varied career with Liberty Mutual. So that's the other signal I think we're trying to send.
Okay. And I'm sending it to you, Gabe.
You know, law students get traditional law job exposure starting on day one of law school. They're pressed to do OCI and apply for summer internships and clerkships at traditional law firms. And I see my job in large part as getting law students to recognize all of the other opportunities out there beyond the traditional roles. And doing events like this Legal Design Challenge is fundamentally what we want to do. We want to get students understanding that there's so many opportunities out there beyond the traditional. And this is one way in a single day to get students involved. And for many of them, it'll be the start of a really cool journey. For others, it'll be a one-day thing where they just say, now I have some more exposure to what else can be done and a different way to problem solve. And it's just always been a win, because even when students just view it as a one-day experience, they carry on that experience with them after.
So what are you guys doing to make sure that you're pulling from a diverse group of students for this event?
So I'll go back to one of the things we talked about earlier. In the past, we have been extremely limited by geography. And I would say that, you know, New England probably has maybe one of the less diverse populations in the United States. With the ability for us to go virtual, again, we are opening this up to schools that may not have had the ability to compete in the past. So that is just one of the ways that we're thinking about ensuring a diverse participation.
Yeah. And I would also say the most successful teams that I've seen in this event, as we've been running it both internally and externally, tend to be teams that are filled with people that have diversity of thought. And that diversity of thought often comes from diversity of backgrounds and culture and all of that, and diversity of their professional experience. And so, you know, one of the years, I think it was Northeastern, Jeff, that won, and they had a really nice balance of law students and MBA students that were able to bring different perspectives. So I think it's in the team's interest to register to have, you know, kind of that diversity of thought in it. And we encourage it because we think that sometimes the best creativity and the best outcomes come from teams that are assembled that way. And we believe that also within our own work at Liberty Mutual. And we are very intentional about staffing up our teams, you know, within Liberty Mutual, that with people that have diversity of thought so that they can be more creative in their problem solving.
All right. Well, Gabe Tenenbaum from Suffolk and Jeff Marple and Bob Taylor from Liberty Mutual, I want to thank you all three of you for taking the time to talk about the Boston Legal Design Challenge. Jeff, what day is this going to be on?
Sure. It's November 13th. And if you want to sign up, you're going to go to lmi.co/BLDC. I encourage you to sign up soon. Space is limited. We're limiting to 50 participants and 10 teams this year. So go ahead and sign up. We'll put the, I'm going to ask Greg and Marlene, hopefully, to put the link in the show notes. And we hope to see you on the 13th.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it all.
Thank you.
Marlene, I can't wait to hear how this thing goes. You know, I like the theme that consistently came across in the way that Bob, Jeff, and Gabe described the challenge as intensive, thought-provoking, challenging, and fun. So, you know, every one of them mentioned how much fun that they've had and the competitors have had as well during this competition.
Yeah, I really look forward to hearing the lessons of how this actually works virtually, because this could really be a model for the future.
Yeah, I think you're right. So I don't know about you, but the whole time I was talking to Jeff and Bob, all I wanted to say was, liberty, liberty, liberty,
liberty,
liberty, liberty.
Liberty. You knew we had to get that in.
Had to get it in there sometime. All right. Well, thanks again to Jeff Marple and Bob Taylor from Liberty Mutual and Gabe Tenenbaum from Suffolk Law School for coming on the show today. And good luck to them and the competitors in this year's Boston Legal Design Challenge.
Yep. Good luck, everybody. Before we go, we want to remind listeners to take the time to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Rate and review us as well. If you have comments about today's show or suggestions for a future show, you can reach us on Twitter at GayBauerM or at Glambert, or you can call the Geek and Review hotline at 713-487-7270 or email us at geekandreviewpodcast@gmail.com. And as always, the music you hear is from Jerry David DeSica.
All right. Thanks, Jerry. Okay. I'll talk to you later, Marlene.
All right. Bye, Greg.
Devil's backbone ball.